वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायण नमस्कृत्या नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो कंटिन्यूइंग ऑन टेक्स्ट 13। भोगेन पुण्यं कुशलेन पापं कलेवरं कालजवेन हित्वा कीर्तिं विशुद्धं सुरलोकगीतं विताय मामिष्यसि मुक्तबन्धः।
भोगेन पुण्यं कुशलेन पापं कलेवरं कालजवेन हित्वा कीर्तिं विशुद्धं सुरलोकगीतं विताय मामेष्यसि मुक्तबन्धः भोगेन पुण्यं कुशलेन पापं कलेवरं कालजवेन हित्वा कीर्तिं विशुद्धं सुरलोकगीतं विताय मामेष्यसि मुक्तबन्धः
प्लीज चैंट Ladies, please.
Yogena punyam kushalena papam kalevaram kalajavena hitva kirtim vishuddham suraloka gitam विताय मामेष्यसि मुक्तबन्धः भोगेन पुण्यं कुशलेन पापं कलेवरं कालजवेन हित्वा कीर्तिं विशुद्धं सुरलोकगीतम् विताय मामेष्यसि मुक्तबन्धः भोगेन
बै फीलिंग्स ऑफ मटेरियल हैप्पीनेस पुण्यम पायस एक्टिविटीज और देयर रिजल्ट्स कुशलेन बाय एक्टिंग पायसली डिवोशनल सर्विस इज द बेस्ट ऑफ ऑल पायस एक्टिविटीज पापम All kinds of reactions to impious activities. Kalevaram, the material body. Kalajavena, by the most powerful time factor. Hitva, giving up. Kirtam, reputation. Vishuddham, transcendental or fully purified. Suraloka Gitam, I'm sorry, Suraloka Gitam, praised even in the heavenly planets, Vitaya, spreading all through the universe, Mam, unto me, Eshyasi, you will come back, Muktabandha, being liberated from all bondage. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear Prahlada, while you are in this material world, you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activities by feeling happiness. And by acting piously, you will neutralize impious activity. Because of the powerful time factor, you will give up your body, but the glories of your activities will be sung in the upper planetary systems, and being fully freed from all bondage, you will return home back to Godhead. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Evam prahladasyamshena sadhana siddhatvam nitya siddhatvam cha narada divach jnayam. There are two classes of devotees, the sadhana siddha and the nitya siddha. Prahlad Maharaj is the mixed siddha. That is, he is perfect partly because of executing devotional service and partly because of eternal perfection. Thus he is compared to such devotees as Narada. Formerly, Narada Muni was the son of a maidservant, and therefore in his next birth he attained perfection, sadhana siddhi, because of having executed devotional service. Yet he is also a nitya siddha because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kushalena is very important. One should live in the material world very expertly. The material world is known as the world of duality because one sometimes has to act impiously and sometimes has to act piously. Although one does not want to act impiously, the world is so fashioned that there is always danger, padam padam yat vipadam. Thus, even when performing devotional service, a devotee has to create many enemies. Prahlad Maharaj himself had experience of this, for even his father became his enemy. A devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord, so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. This is the expert management of papa punya, pious and impious activities. An exalted devotee like Prahlad Maharaj is jivan mukta. He is liberated even in this very life, in the material body. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So before I begin, I want to formally welcome very close friends of mine, my dear god sister and their daughter. So I have a very dear friend in India who actually studied here, but then due to circumstances had to move back to India. And his name now is Shyam Kund Das. He lives in Bangalore and works for Samsung. So any of your phones, it's because of him. So his wife, Vinodini Devi Dasi, and their wonderful daughter, Madhav Priya, are here with us for about a month. And Shyam Kund will join us later in January for a few days. So you picked the best time in Chicago. It's very, very welcoming. The weather is fantastic and very cooperative, so you picked the perfect time. Thank you. In the purport, there are two lessons or two pieces of information. Okay. So the first is about Prahlad Maharaj's position as a devotee. We've heard of many mixed devotees. Prahlad Maharaj is a mixed devotee of a different category.
is a different kind of mixed devotee. Generally, when you say mixed devotee, that means there is some karma and jnana mixed and it's not proper. Now, he is a different kind of perfect personality. Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to say that he is both sadhana siddha and nitya siddha. Sadhana siddha because in this particular body, as Prahlad is here, he is practicing devotional service, particularly the anga called smaranam, to such a degree that his life became perfected simply of thinking of Krishna all the time. In all circumstances. Generally, a person is said that thinks of God selectively. Either in distress, because that's when nothing else is working, so then they have no choice but to somehow call out to God or Krishna. But rarely does a person think of Krishna all the time. And in thinking, it's not just like the name of Krishna or the form of Krishna is a little flash and it goes away. It's not like that kind of remembering. So in Nectar of Devotion, there are degrees of remembrance. First is called recalling. Recalling means it comes and goes away. Second is remembrance, where there is recalling is sometimes it comes without our knowing about it. Suddenly we recall a song from somewhere. Okay? Or when we were young, we would sing all these songs, and after all these years of chanting Hare Krishna, we don't remember those songs until you walk into a grocery store or some place. And as soon as you hear the song, you know the lyrics. They all come out one after the other. You don't even have to make an effort. It is there somewhere. All it needed was something for recalling it. And we wonder, man, I thought I forgot this song. I know this song very well. And with that song or whatever, all the memories are also attached. You know, you can remember the whatever scene and the situations, and all of them come back one after the other. So these things then they interrupt a person's, or even sort of set aside the chance of thinking of Krishna. So one is called, oh gosh, called recall. Please forgive me. I have a problem that is always in ringer mode at class time and vibrate mode during the daytime when it has to be the opposite. And I keep forgetting. Okay, sorry. It's like this interruption. It's like this interruption. Suddenly in the middle of something, something comes up in our mind and we forget about Krishna. Then there is remembrance. Remembrance is a volition, an attempt from our side to direct our mind towards remembering Krishna. So it's not easy to just remember Krishna. Of course, we say Krishna and we remember him. But remembering is more concentrated. We actually are directing our mind in remembering a verse, remembering a particular pastime, remembering what color dress Krishna is wearing today, etc. Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, nama, rupa, guna, leela, etc. So that remembrance is interrupted either by our own inability to direct the mind or by some other external factors. External, not necessarily outside of ourselves, but some other extraneous factors. Then there is concentration, where when the mind is directed, it stays. It stays on the subject matter, particularly Krishna. Or to keep even more broad, on spiritual topics. It stays there, it doesn't get distracted. From concentration is meditation. Meditation is something that is deepened concentration, very stronger. And that develops, meditation develops into absorption. And that develops to samadhi. Samadhi means always, always focused on Krishna. Samadhi is that a person's hands and legs may be doing things, but their mind never moves from Krishna even for a moment. And it is in good times and bad times, challenging times and not so challenging times, etc. So the whole Bhagavatam is identifying and showing us the life of persons who are in such samadhi. Now, and that's the path, for, especially for Prahlad Maharaj, that's his perfection. But he never forgot Krishna. And he's also Nitya Siddha because in the previous verses he has expressed, I came to this material world because you asked me to come and demonstrate what it means to be a devotee. Like that. So sometimes the Lord also does things like that, especially as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared, he's the personality of Godhead, all perfect, but he appears as a devotee. And he appears to go through the process of initiation, taking shelter of a guru, serving the guru, taking initiation, chanting his prescribed rounds, etc., as a demonstration of what it means to be a devotee. And he's the perfect one because he's God, he knows how to do it perfectly. And the example given is like Narada Muni. Narada is also like that. And Prabhupada gives the definition, he is Nitya Siddha because he never forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nitya Siddha, always perfect because he is always remembering Krishna. That is Nitya Siddha, always remembering Krishna. So we see in the life of Srila Prabhupada that he said, there was never a time that I forgot Krishna, even for a moment. Now anyone cannot say with such confidence, there was never a time that I never forgot Krishna. But someone who can say, which is it's true. So there are many wonderful pastimes of Prabhupada like that. Especially in this context. New York for Prabhupada was very challenging because it was the winter and never experienced anything. You know, when we experience winter, what a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old experiences winter as, and what a 70-year-old experiences winter is two different things. Right? When it is 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 degrees Celsius outside, an experience of a 35, 40-year-old is very different from the experience of a 70-year-old. Plus, a 70-year-old from a place where it's always hot. It intensifies the experience. And all alone. Nobody. Language is a problem. Money is a problem. The body is a problem. The whole culture is a problem. Plus, as a Paramahamsa sitting in Vrindavan is in the Lower East Side of New York. Gosh, can you imagine what it feels like to be in an environment where there is nothing, nothing that reminds him of Krishna. In Vrindavan, everything is a reminder of Krishna. The trees, the grass, the dust, the walls, the people, the air, the sound, everything is a reminder of Krishna. And Lower East Side, nothing. All these factors, there are challenges to remembering Krishna. So if New York was challenging, it is said that San Francisco was a double whammy challenge for Prabhupada. Because it was the capital of the hippie land, Haight-Ashbury. Capital of it. And so Prabhupada was in a little room, and it was about 1:30 a.m., and he's translating. Suddenly there's a knock at the door. Bang, 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 bang. Prabhupada said, "Who is it? Who is it?" So it's 1:30 a.m. Prabhupada opens the door. There's a young woman standing there. Prabhupada said, "Yes." Out of just as this the being of, you know, sannyasi, young woman, Prabhupada stepped. She stepped into the house, right into the room. So Prabhupada almost like reflex, Prabhupada stepped out. So she stepped out and pulled the door behind her. And there's lock, so Prabhupada's locked out. And this is in the middle of the purports that he's dictating. Right? So she closed the door and he's locked out. 1:30 a.m., a young woman, nowhere to go with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "Okay, I don't know, I don't have a key. I know Mukunda lives close by, a couple of doors down." And Prabhupada goes looking for Mukunda's room, gets to knock on his door, and Mukunda opens and looks at this young woman. He's about to yell at her, "Are you crazy? What are you doing? You know who this person is?" And Prabhupada says, "No, no, no, just give me the key to my room." He takes the key. And while this whole transaction is happening, 1:30 a.m. at night on the street, the woman suddenly goes, "Yaula, yaula," something. It was like shocking. It was all new experience for Prabhupada. Still, Prabhupada is very calm. He goes back to his room, opens the door, closes the door, locks it, sits down, and goes right back into translating. So normally, even if a little something happens, our mind is so disturbed that we talk about it to others. "You know what happened today? You know what happened today? Why did they..." And it goes on, and the mind is like highly volatile. But Prabhupada's mind was straight back into the translations. Absolutely nothing was disturbed in his mind, in his being. And next morning, when he was giving class, the young woman was sitting right in the front row. And Prabhupada said, "Did you know what happened last night?" And the woman was, "Oh, please forgive me, Swamiji." Prabhupada's heart was very loving, compassionate towards her. Even if she showed up in the middle of the night, challenging and super intoxicated. So how his mind was at 1:30 a.m., an hour later at 2:30, it was still the same, and the next morning still compassionate. So this remembrance of Krishna now is connected to the next point or paragraph. And that's the verse. First of all, Narasingadev is confirming to Prahlad Maharaj that after this life, you will come to me. Vitaya, vitaya means giving up. Vitaya, spreading throughout the universe. What is spreading throughout the universe? He says, Kirtim, your glories will be spread throughout the universe. And Suraloka Gitam, it will be praised even in the heavenly planets. Ebe Yash Gushuk Tribhuvana. Ebe Yasha, whose glory is sung Tribhuvana. Tribhuvana means in the three worlds. So Lord Narasingadev is telling Prahlad Maharaj, your glory will be sung in the three worlds. And Mam Eshyasi. And when will you come to me? Kalevaram Kala Javena Hitva. By the influence of time, when you give up your body, Mam Eshyasi, you will come to me. Imagine. Such kind of confirmation. You will come to me. Wow. Now, it's not far away for us in the sense that this is what Krishna speaks to Arjuna also. Mameshyasi. Mameshyasi. Asamshayaha. You will come to me without a doubt. So the same assurance is given to us also. We will come to Krishna without a doubt. But there are certain characteristics by which such doubts can be removed. And that's in the first line of the verse. Bhogena punyam. Kushalena papam. So this is there's an organization called Art of Living. And they're about breathing and doing some social work. Kriya Yoga or something they call it. But this verse is the real art of living. Anything else is not art. It doesn't have the same expertise in it. So two things. First, he says, Bhogena punyam. By happy feelings, you will exhaust all reactions of pious activities. So first of all, pious activities, in this case, material piety, it brings about certain assets in one's life. A good family, good education, intelligence, some expertise, some skill, very good skill, good looks, and wealth. Pretty much these four categories. This is what punya brings to a person. Nice features of the body, strength, etc., etc., all that. What do people do with their punya? Mostly. Sense gratification. And for sense gratification, it doesn't come easily. They have to do something, they have to work hard. And they have to make sure that their sense gratification is not interrupted. Now, if a person's heart is not pure, then all the gifts of punya that come to their life, for them to be able to enjoy them, they have to do something, and very likely they will engage in some sinful activity. Just for enjoying the gift of punya previously. If they have good physical strength, they will use it in a way that facilitates sinful activity. If they have good looks, they will use it in a way that will facilitate some sinful activity. Because papa and punya go together. It's this duality. Remember, I've been giving the example of, I want to enjoy a cigarette. But along with that happiness of taking that drag, I'm destroying my lungs. So papa, punya, sukha, dukkha, they're always together. They're two sides of the same coin. So generally a person is impelled into engaging in some sinful activity just to facilitate their need for sense enjoyment. So here he says, bhogena papa, bhogena punyam. By just happy feelings, not necessarily going out and seeking sense gratification. And the second part is even more important. He says, kushalena papam. The word kushala appears in the Bhagavad Gita also. In the second chapter, verse 50. Here Prabhupada translates kushala as by acting piously. Devotional service. And in 250, Krishna calls it, or Prabhupada calls it, the art, expertise. Kushala, and a person who's very expert is called Kaushal. So Dasarath's wife was Kausalya, who's very expert at everything. So here Prabhupada says, Krishna says, buddhi yukta jatahiha, jahahita, jahatiha. Buddhi yukta jahatiha ubhe sukruta duskrute tasmat yogaya yujyasva yoga karmasu kaushalam. A man engaged in devotional service, see the parallel, rids himself of both good and bad actions and even in this life. Exactly what Narasingadeva is saying. Therefore, strive for yoga, which is the art of all work. Exactly the same instruction. Krishna is giving Arjuna, Narasingadeva is giving Prahlad Maharaj. So, very short purport, but nice one. Sometime, since time immemorial, each living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad work. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his real constitutional position. One's ignorance can be removed by the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which teaches one to surrender unto Lord Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. Last word in the verse, mukta bandha. You'll be free of mukta bandha, of all bondage, of all reactions to pious and impious activity. Arjuna is therefore advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of resultant action. So resultant action, the other day Gokulananda Prabhu was telling us, there is a prarabdha karma that at this point in time manifests as prarabdha, and the remaining aprarabdha is sitting in the form of kuta, means tendency, bija is the about to manifest, and phalam, once it's manifest. So these things are sitting there. In the Bhagavatam 11th canto, the tendency is called vasana. Vasana is the inclination that we bring from our previous lives. And to survive in this life, those reactions, they push us into doing something. And most likely we do pious, impious combination of things. To do anything pious, very likely there is something impious that you have to do. But recently I've been hearing the seminar on Tattva Sandarbha that my spiritual master gave. He's describing the duties of a grihastha. I said, if you know all the duties of a grihastha, you won't even wake up in the morning. It is so difficult. Apparently, a grihastha has to wake up before the crack of dawn, take a cold bath or whatever, and then he has to do all the fire yajnas. There are five kinds of yajnas he's supposed to do. In his house only, because in his house, there are five places of slaughter. Just for surviving in the house, there are five slaughters that he has to commit. I remember the list. One is when you turn on the fire to cook, you're killing some entities around. When you sweep the floor, you kill some entities. When you take a grinding mortar and you grind something, you kill some entities. So like this, I have three, the two more. Every little thing that you do, there is some slaughter. And so you have to purify yourself every day. And you have to do these yajnas, breathing. You breathe in and out, and we kill bacteria. Of course, for some people, by their breathing out, they kill even human beings, but it's a different thing. It's called bad odor, anyway. So we cause harm to other living entities just to survive in this world. Now what to speak of other things? So specifically, Prabhupada saying one should always act in a way, piously, means act as a devotee in all testing circumstances that may impel us to do something that is not proper. There is always this push. So a devotee must be thoughtful, must consider, what is the right thing to do? What is the right thing to say by which I will not get some reaction from it? And the reason is not because we don't want more reactions. The reason is because it should be beneficial and favorable to Krishna. It should be pleasing to Krishna. So in Nectar of Devotion, we say pleasing Krishna is the most important element. But to please Krishna, for example, Krishna is pleased by someone who's always remembering him. So Prabhupada says Kamsa was also remembering Krishna all the time. And Krishna was pleased by that. But there is a way of thinking of Krishna. And that's the operative word, anukulyena, in a way that is favorable to Krishna. So in our lives, every day, there is this impel, there is a push for doing something that may look like papam through our mind, body and words. And Narsingdev is asking Prahlad Maharaj, or instructing him, he says, kushalena. So today's, if you remember anything from the class, it's the word kushalena. Acting in a way that is very artful. And the artful way is to make sure that all circumstances are somehow turned into great opportunities for remembering Krishna and for reminding others of Krishna. For great opportunities for considering how to enhance our service to Krishna, our relationship with Krishna. And for that, a person needs to be naturally thoughtful. So a couple of examples and then I'll open for more discussion. I heard from Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj this beautiful story about Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur used to reside in Jagannath Puri. Apparently in Jagannath Puri, nobody observes Ekadashi because Jagannath likes to eat. He's offered 56 times in a day. Chappan bhog. And so he was laughing, Maharaj was laughingly saying that behind Jagannath temple, the deity of Ekadashi is tied up with ropes. You relax, not here in Jagannath Puri. No Ekadashi business. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had told his mother, if you want to follow something, just follow Ekadashi nicely. So he had told all of his followers, do not eat any grains on Ekadashi. And he was strict about it. So a particular Ekadashi, it's said that Haridas Thakur got a big plate of Jagannath Mahaprasadam, full of wonderful grain preparations, and was given to him. So this is Kushalena Papam, right? Now, we know when Prasadam comes, we never say no to it because it's disrespect. We have to learn the art of how to say no without saying no. That's just an art. Every devotee has to learn it. And different people do it different ways. But that's an art. Because if you reject it, it's sinful reaction. And we know that every time we can't just eat, keep eating prasadam every time it comes to us. So Haridas Thakur was given. Now it's a quandary. Is Jagannath Prasadam, you can't say no. And it is Ekadashi, you can't displease Lord Chaitanya. What to do? So Haridas Thakur, as an expert, said, well, we know that before we honor Prasadam, or eat Prasadam, or honor it, we glorify it. Maha Prasade Govinde, right? We glorify it. So Haridas Thakur began glorifying Mahaprasadam. He started in the afternoon and went on glorifying it. Verse after verse, verse after verse, the glories of Prasadam, glories of devotees who eat Prasadam, glories of the Lord for giving Prasadam. And he went on through the night glorifying, glorifying, glorifying till it was next morning time for breaking the fast. And that's when he ate it. He did this and he did that. He accepted it, but he also did not violate Lord Chaitanya's instruction. What expertise? Amazing. Amazing. Or another. This is my favorite story. 7th chapter of the first canto, right? Arjuna is very angry. I will bring the head of Ashwatthama. And Draupadi, you can stand on that head and offer oblations for the 5 sons that he has killed in the dead of night. Little boys, less than 16-year-old. So he chases Ashwatthama, captures him, brings him in front of Draupadi, holding his hair with his sword raised, ready to chop that head off. Because that's a Kshatriya vow. And he gets this instruction. He looks at Krishna. What do you think I should do? And Krishna is super trickster. He doesn't say do it, he doesn't say don't do it. But he says, if you do it, you will not get the reaction of killing a Brahmin. It sounds like do it. And Yudhishthir Maharaj comes and says, please don't do it. Forgiveness is a very great quality. Don't do it. You're supposed to listen to your superiors, his older brother. Then Bhima comes and he says, kill him. That's the right punishment for this guy. He's also an older brother. Draupadi comes into the scenario. Muchyatam, muchyatam. Leave him, leave him. And her is from her soft-heartedness that I know the feeling of a mother who's lost her children. Now, if you kill him, Kripi, she'll become very lonely and she'll feel like me. What's the point? I know the pain. Why are you inflicting it upon his mother? What to do? What to do? Arjuna is called Kushala, expert. So he chops off Ashwatthama's hair, removes the jewel from his forehead, and insults him and sends him away. So insulting him is as good as killing him. And he meant his vow, I will kill him. So he killed him. And he also followed the pleas of Yudhishthir Maharaj and Draupadi. And the very next verse, Suta Goswami, who's narrating the story, he says, Krishna was testing Arjuna. And he was testing to show the world, this is how a devotee is an expert. So Krishna puts everyone in very, very testing situations to bring out or give us the opportunity to practice Kushalena Papam. How to expertly avoid anything that sounds okay, but on the something at a moral level may be right thing to do. At an ethical level may also be right thing to do, but at a spiritual level there may be a different way of doing it. And Arjuna and Prahlad Maharaj and Haridas Thakur, they were the experts. So our scriptures are filled with pastimes of how delicately these super devotees, they handle all these situations. Another story, lesser known, but definitely glorifying. There was a young princess who came to a particular ashram. Her name was Sukanya. This is in the Bhagavatam. Sukanya came, and as she was strolling in the gardens with all the beautiful flowers and bees and mice, manicured gardens, she saw a particular place where there were two holes in the ground. She looked in and there were red, two something shining. So as a young woman, she was curious. Anyone is curious. So she picked a straw from the side and tried to poke what that might be, to see what it might be. As soon as she poked them, streams of blood started coming out of it. So she was scared. And suddenly the earth moved and things are, and came from under the ground a particular yogi. Do you know his name? His name was Chavana Muni. Now Chavana Muni was meditating with his whole body underground, except two holes for his eyes to be open. Or what kind of, if something bit him, how do you scratch yourself in such a situation? Or something, right? And when that blood came, he was shocked. He came out angry. She didn't know what to do. She had disturbed the sage's meditation. So she went running to her father, and Chavana Muni came out angry. And the father didn't know what to do. He said, the best way to seek forgiveness, he said, is Chavana Muni, can you please marry my daughter? Okay. Now, Chavana Muni is very aged. The daughter is very young. She's a princess. He's an ascetic living underground. or what, just below the surface of the ground, whatever. And so that's how he continued living. And this princess, she had to make a big lifestyle change, you know, from silken bed to hundreds of chaperones to living all by herself, wearing one cotton sari, you know, turning the stove on with a little fire. It's not like a nice flame. Get the wood, chop the wood, cow dung paddies. By the way, cow dung fire is not a very strong fire. It takes slow cooking, and that's why the taste. And so lived a very, very austere life. And to make things worse, Chyavana Muni was the most irritable fellow. He would never be pleased with whatever she did. Why is there so much salt in the dal today? Why is the rice so sticky? Why is this color like this? Why is the clothes like this? Why is the ashram like this? You don't know anything. Your father didn't teach you. Constantly battering her. Sukanya could have said, to hell with you, man. I'm leaving. This is a little difficult to follow in modern context, but Bhagavatam describes, she did not utter a word. She just kept quiet and continued serving him to such a degree that one day he was totally won over by her behavior and said, I have always been very chastising. I've been very nagging and irritable with you. And I'm sure I've tested your patience like anything. But you've never, not even once, said anything, or your service didn't. I'm very grateful to you. And it was a transformation for Chyavana Muni. A great sage, a simple girl transformed. Because if she said something, it would have been papa, because it's not her dharma to say. Or take the example of Gandhari, very expert. My husband cannot see. If I see, I'm able to see, I have vision, I'm on a higher position than he is. I like to be equal. This is real equality. So she forever, for the rest of her life, put on blindfold. So she was on the same level. Example. I don't mean to bring up women's issues or anything. But the idea is expertise is very important. And that expertise is something we have to learn in our day-to-day. How to say and do in such a way that we don't facilitate, perhaps even unknowingly, sinful reactions. It's not easy, but that's what is the call to action for us. So Prabhupada says, a devotee should expertly manage to think always of the Supreme Lord so that the reactions of suffering cannot touch him. That's the expertise, how to always think of Krishna. That's the challenge placed before us by our founder Acharya, our spiritual master, and by Krishna himself. There is a fruit at the end of it, and that is Mam Eshyasi Mukta Bandha. Any comments, questions? Anyone? Oh.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. My question and commentary is directed towards, it's mentioned two things here, sadhana siddha and what is the
Nitya siddha.
Nitya siddha, but we hear also kripa siddha usually with along with that, the mercy of the Lord. So one thing I appreciate about Prabhupada is kind of, so he basically essentially said that we should think of ourselves as like a lord in a worm and stool siddha. Because usually, you know, if you think yourself higher, then you'll, you know, always get upset. So my question is that when we read these things like so many titles, in the material world we're concerned with titles, whatever Sarvapati, etc., we see Nitya Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, Uttamadhikari, so many titles. And we generally, the tendency is you want to be the elite person. But how detrimental is it to one's devotional service in terms of not only trying to be the highest devotee in the sense of not being concerned with one's devotion, but more concerned with one's title, and also as a fault-finding factor that you start to calculate other people's consciousness. So can you explain a little bit more about that? What should we be more concerned about, these titles or one's devotional service, if Krishna wants to, et cetera?
Well, the answer is obvious. We don't do service for titles or entitlement.
Or at least we don't say.
But there is all room for individual initiative. We're supposed to take initiative, meaning we see something, we do something about it. Title will mean, oh, that's not my service. Oh, that's not for me to do. That's title. But if you see something, you take initiative. There's just so much to do in terms of serving Krishna. Not just physical activities, but so much to do. And every devotee can take initiative. Don't have to wait for to be told, can you please do this? But doesn't need a title. But how Prabhupada organized? There are titles and there are services, and that way there is responsibility. So are titles important? Yeah. But are titles the end-all and be-all? No. Because when there's a title, there's someone who's a king. There's a title, well, he's the king. There's someone who's the minister. There's someone who's this. So there's, in our society, there's organization. Such and such person has this service, and that's the person we take guidance from for that particular service. That person is responsible. So titles are for identifying and distributing responsibilities and accountability. That's about it. It's not an entitlement. Oh, now I'm better off than others. It's nothing like that. And one person who thinks like that, very soon Krishna will replace and bring someone else who may be wonderful, or however. But it's not a birthright that, oh, now that I have this, this is the perfection of my life. Mora panchagras. Titles facilitate service, that's about it.
What about to the point of the creeper to the point, like, can't you say it's like an honorary degree? Isn't essentially everything like the mercy of the Lord? Because we hear that, like, a Nitya Siddha always remembers Krishna, but we hear from the Gita that you can't remember Krishna without Krishna unless he gives you the ability, or you perform your sadhana. You can perform your sadhana all you want, that doesn't mean you're gonna get the mercy of the Lord, so it's dependent. So in one sense, usually when we do like a service,
by performing sadhana, we do receive the mercy of the Lord. Of course, it's not fruitive that Krishna is obliged, but Krishna lovingly gives. And our expression of sadhana is to demonstrate to Krishna that we are eager for his mercy. Kripa is something that perhaps we're not looking for and it comes our way. We're not looking for something particularly and it comes our way. Or it's in that context we say Kripa Siddha. But without Kripa, nothing works. Two things are always necessary, our effort and Krishna's mercy. So all our sadhana is our demonstration to Krishna that I'm very eager and interested in receiving your mercy. So please, kindly, could you extend it to me? And we don't do it for 1 or 2 days and say, well, it's not working. But that Krishna will give. He is the master. His giving mercy is his department. Seeking mercy is my department. So let me work on my department and Krishna can work on his whenever he gives. The expertise of a devotee is the ability to see mercy in ways that normal people cannot see. For a normal, I'm saying normal, a materialistic person, mercy is something very tangible in terms of goods. Did you get this? Did you get that? Someone asks me, you've been serving Krishna, you say, have you received, what about money? Did you get money from Krishna? Do you have a house to stay? I said, all those were even before I did anything. Krishna took care. What mercy he gives is a whole different category of mercy. That was even before, the sign-on bonus. Money, house, all that taken care of. But it's the relationship, that's the sweetness. Challenges are always there. Money challenge, who doesn't have? Everyone has. But what about the relationship with Krishna? That's what keeps it going day after day after day. The sweetness of seeing the smile on the face of the spiritual master, or even a nod of, yeah, this something is done. Or the, even if he doesn't nod, he doesn't smile, but the fact that he accepts the service, that's good enough to keep going. And that has to have a relationship. Otherwise, like, what? What is this? Why are you doing this? Why are we doing devotional service? People cannot fathom. Acharya Nishtha.
My question is, I'm curious why Nrisimha Dev is saying you will exhaust all the reactions of pious activity, and by acting impiously you will neutralize impious activity. Because earlier we understood that he, as a Nitya Siddha, he's displaying the qualities of a pure devotee. So what is the significance of the statement when we would consider that he wouldn't have any pious activity or any impious activity to be neutralized?
It is from the point of view of the fact that he has a material body. That's how I understood it. And he's born in the family of the super asura. So the fact that there is a body means there is something in that context. Now, there are different ways of looking at it. So one is this, another is, this is part of the Leela, and describing that by these practicing these principles, that's the way to exhaust one's karmic reactions, as the Bhagavad Gita says. So it gives us an example, a pathway. Oh, that's the way to live. And the third is, since he's appeared in the world and living like an ordinary person, that's the pathway out. So three different ways. But doesn't necessarily make Prahlad any less of a devotee, because Narasimhadev said, Kushalena Papam. It's a nice principle. And Krishna says to Arjuna, Jai Shatrum Mahabaho, oh my friend, oh great mighty armed Arjuna, kill this enemy of yours called lust. Arjuna and say, excuse me, I have lust? It's part of the conversation that Arjuna's taken the position of, please instruct me. He's instructing him. And at the same time he says, Bahuni me viditani janmani tavacha Arjuna. You and I have appeared in many, many times. I remember, you don't. And Arjuna is a perfected soul. So it's in that context. It doesn't diminish Arjuna's position. Does that satisfy you? Subal Prabhu.
I really appreciated the way you broke down the verse. And the emphasis on that first line, Bhogena Punyan Kushalena Papam, is almost like a perfect description of sadhana, the process of sadhana. And you know, the approach of understanding sadhana, this sadhana bhakti, or what is given to us from that line is quite something, especially because Prahlad Maharaj is described as also the mixed sadhana siddha. So he was expert, perfect in applying that principle. And, you know, naturally, with the practice of sadhana bhakti, we are there's definitely a happiness that we experience. Otherwise, you know, how is that, you know, you keep going, you know, and you take part of it. So there's some beautiful happiness that is there, and it's very nice that you put it how, you know, this happiness in general, when you are happy, then, you know, you may, there's always the tendency that, oh, I can use this happiness of these assets that I'm getting from this practice for sense gratification. So this kushalena papan have to go side by side. It's, you know, it's two things that have to go side by side. Now, the question, if you can comment on this, this expertise of this art of kushalena papan, it requires maturity in the process of, you know, sadhana bhakti. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to ascertain at certain points, as you say, something may look like, oh, this is ethic and right, you know, is some, you know, Arjuna's conflict before the battle. You know, he has some very solid, you know, ethical reasons why not to fight. And, you know, so to make that discrimination, to be able to understand in some situation that appears, well, here there's examples in the scriptures of following this path, and, you know, so what's wrong with this, but it may not necessarily be the right choice. So in a level that we may not have the maturity, how to make sure that we are, you know, in that kushalena papan, you know, applying it properly, if you can.
Thank you. Expertise or art, in this case, as the word kushala, in this world, primarily, comes from two major areas. One, it comes from shravanam. And the second comes from experience. Primarily, it's a combination of the two, primarily shravanam. But shravanam without experience, jnana does not become vijnana, right? It does not become realized. The tendency generally is that we read these examples in Bhagavatam, and in our lives, we somehow feel that if I do something or say something, it should be as good as what Prahlad Maharaj is doing. Otherwise, you know, I don't make the mark. And that stumps us. Rather, we should freely say, do in a way, at least attempt it and learn from it. Because we'll get more situations like where, oh, I've learned some lesson from this. Just as to become expert at something, a skill or craft, one has to practice it. I remember in our first year of engineering, we had what we used to call a class called shop. So we'd put on our overalls and we'd go into the foundry section of the school. We'd be given a little iron rod and a picture. You have to make it a loop. So then we put it in the fire, you bring it out, you have a hammer, tack, 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 you hit it, you turn it, you measure it, you put it back, you hit it, and it has to be a perfect loop. And we, for us, it would look this way, that way, and it would, like, funny things would come out of it, because we didn't know at what heat and how much to hit, how little to tap once in a while. But our teacher would come, tong, 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 and make a loop and walk away. It's like, wow. It's not like he knew it from the time he came out of the womb. It's something that he practiced. And practice gives you a chance to look. Oh, this is what I did. I could have done it differently. I could have done it better. I made a mistake here. This thing didn't come out so well. But there is an experience. There's a learning from it. And that learning what brings another opportunity and expertise. And that's the whole life project that we're learning the art. What's the particular art here that Prabhupada's taking? The reason for bhogena punyam kushalena papam is kalevaram kala javena hitva. That at the time of leaving the body, you're able to remember Krishna properly. That's the development of it. So that's the practice. We try something in our interactions or something. There's a mistake. We do something. We learn, oh, I shouldn't do it this way. I should do it differently. That's the art we're developing. It's practicing it. Instead of waiting for, or if I do it, it should do it perfectly. Otherwise, I can't do it. So we sort of, as devotees, we do live sometimes a life of over-caution to such a degree that we don't do anything. So it's a little okay to try it out and learn from it. But we learn from Shravanam. Primarily, Vyasadeva wrote Bhagavatam for Kali Yuga so that there is Shravanam and people can learn from it. So there is papa, something we do that is sinful, and then we act in devotional attitude or devotional consciousness to neutralize it. That's our call to action each time, to become more mature. But it's a practice. It's just like you have to try. As we say, trial and error. Although devotional service is not trial and error in terms of principles, it's trial and error in terms of practice. I'll end with a joke. There was a person who said, my life was all about trials and errors. All my errors ended in trials. Anyway, anything else? It's not something people picked up. It's like, my gosh. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. We have Bhoga waiting at the back door for us to bring it in. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Trials
better?
Yeah, you said it.
I said it.
Yeah.
No one laughs.
I laughed the first time. That's
somehow humor is a little something that people don't
quickly laugh. Well, I laughed the first time. I heard it to say it. I was like, oh yeah, I heard that one.
You make me look like someone who can make a good joke, and I usually doubt my. What happened to the punchline?
If I hear more than you, it's okay.